Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. We're back for the matchup show for the offense. If you missed the defense with Frazier Tafar and me, we had some good stuff in that first episode. But first, Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be back on for the offensive show. Like you mentioned, we had some really good stuff on the defensive show talking about if the Ravens can contain John Mechie, who is going to be their number one wide receiver, whether it be a combination of Hamilton and Humphrey just being physical at the point of attack. And then also, if the Ravens can make sure to stop Breece Hall, who is their number one offensive player next to Mechie, who's going to make an impact on the game, whether it's through the run and the pass.
Yeah, very important. I think also, you know, a start from Tyrod Taylor, we talked about at some length in terms of what his background is. He's now 36 years old, I believe, in his 15th season in the league. He's a 2011 draftee, sixth-round pick of the Ravens. Lots of detail in there about Taylor's career. Still is a decent runner, and he's been careful with the football throughout his significant playing time years, particularly in Buffalo in the mid-teens, 15 to 17. We're a lot of years removed from that, and he's thrown the football away a few times. And we talked about various ways that the Ravens may try and get after him and still contain him in this game. But good show. Please take a listen back to it. Why don't you start us off with your first thought, Frazier, for the offense?
Yep. First matchup I have is the Ravens pass protection versus the Jets pass rush. Obviously, it's a hot topic in Baltimore. Is can the Ravens protect Lamar Jackson enough to get us where we want to be? And past couple weeks, it has been disappointing, especially last week, giving up 4 to arguably defensive player of the year, which is understandable, but still unacceptable to give up 4. This week, they aren't facing that same type of lineup, but again, it's a formidable pass rush that can bring pressure. Really, we're going to need to see if the Ravens come out with a rotation that they've shown in the past. Can we see a change at left guard? Could we see a change at right guard? Bringing either Cleveland. Emory Jones has been on the bubble for what's been 5 weeks now. Still trying to figure out what we do with him. I don't know how that works. And then who's the backup center?
Bullock.
Could we plug Bullock in at either guard spot and season the sparks from there, just at a physicality level? And as a center, you have to understand what every offensive lineman's doing. And Bullock has shown some savviness, especially in preseason, at the center position. So seeing if he could bring that in at the guard position could give us a little spark, give Lamar Jackson a little more assurance back in the pocket to really get through his drop, step up in his drop, and deliver a ball. I think the problem we have now with Lamar being on schedule is that he can't trust his offensive line. So he's getting out of the play, getting out of the pocket way too fast. So really trying to see an improvement in that department, letting us have more ample time and space, and really just trying to attack this Jets team downfield. Not to call it like a practice game or anything, but this needs to be a get right game for the offense.
All right. Well, fair enough. And I appreciate you bringing up ample time and space. I did a video about that yesterday, but Lamar Jackson's had 7 ample time and space opportunities in his last 60 plays that have resulted in a pass or sack.
Oh, wow.
12%. And that's just absurdly low. Terrible opportunity set each of the last 2 games. Now, some of that is on the offensive line, to be certain. And some of it also is on scheme of the defenses, which ultimately the only way the Ravens can fix it is for Lamar to be very effective and the scheme to both promote and allow for on-time passes to be thrown. And it's not Lamar's natural bent. I think he could do it well, yeah. but it's not Lamar's natural bent, as we know, to make a lot of on-schedule, out-of-the-break throws, back shoulder throws on the sideline. We've never really seen that from Lamar.
Honestly, the only game, not to cut you off, that you can pinpoint is his 2019 year against the Jets. That was probably the only game where I've seen him like literally on fire with some of the throws he had to Seth Roberts and some of the in-breaking routes that were on time. I mean, he was feeling it that night. So I think that's probably one of the good examples we have of him throwing on time and just being in that zone.
Right. I'm not denying he can do it. It's just in particular, Rashad Bateman's skill set has kind of been minimized in this town because of he's a great route runner. His separation occurs shortly after he hits the top of the stem because he has the ability to juke and make some moves there. He certainly has done extremely well with Zay Flowers on the wait throw method. Because Flowers will beat somebody crossing. He gets to see the whole thing developing and he'll hit him in the middle of the field. That's worked out very well. Extended plays, Isaiah Likely, Mark Andrews, Bateman himself, others have worked very well. It's just not the problem, but you know, now the strategy seems to be in order to beat Lamar, at least by a fair number of teams, has been crowd the line of scrimmage. And the Vikings did it. And we saw Flores cover zero blitz a lot in that game. And it made Lamar have to get the ball out quickly. And they did some other very interesting things to keep the exits guarded on that, like having Van Ginkle trying to cut off passes to the strong side where there's three receivers. And he's basically trying to read Lamar from a distance on that side, trying to cut off those sidearm throws that he can make. The Ravens can't have that occur. They can't have a bunch of tip balls occur at the line of scrimmage. And unfortunately, you know, the misdirection and Lamar's athleticism that would be part of the solution to this isn't really on the table. Misdirection's off if they crowd the line of scrimmage at all. And Lamar's athleticism is off the table if he's hurt.
Right.
So, you know, you have these two things, and it means that the avenue that has to be pursued aggressively is getting Lamar on time, unscheduled throws, which really punish a defense. Some of that can be slants and getting the ball out on screen and in space to Flowers and other players who can make hay in the flat. But a lot of it has to be just over the top. And they've got a couple of different weapons to do that. They can do it with Tez Walker. And they can do it with DeAndre Hopkins, even though he won't get much separation. He has a good chance to take the ball away from a cornerback who's right on top of him. And particularly a back shoulder, vulnerable quarterback like Brandon Stevens, who is will overrun a play very frequently because he doesn't really find the ball well in the air.
No, and I completely agree with that. I think it's going to be tough for us to not have issues when the line of scrimmage is crowded. Mm-hmm. These past 2 weeks have been a challenge, especially with pointing back to the offensive line play, just making sure to pick up the right gaps. I think trusting the run game is going to be crucial. I think obviously we need the pass blocking to be good, but the run game has sprung a couple runs, especially the one long run for Henry. That was a really good schemed up play. They blocked that almost perfect. That's why it popped. I think if we're able to continue to lean on it, I think the pass pro would almost help itself out because, again, the defensive line is not going to be pinning their ears back on us and trying to get back to Lamar. So draws, I don't think would work. Again, trying to figure out the right variation of plays for this offense is going to be key for Monken.
I mean, there's two things they can really do. One of them is quick throws on schedule throws, which I'll put in one category. The other is point of attack football in the run game. And the problem with the crowding line of scrimmage, and I'm not sure the Jets are going to do this, by the way. I don't know how they're going to approach this game with Lamar. They may try and rush four, drop seven, see if they can cut Lamar off that way. Maybe use a spy. That's another possibility. But they may attack it several different ways. And if they do decide to crowd the line of scrimmage, though, misdirection is out. And so they really have to go to point of attack football. And that becomes not as challenging as if you have all eight of those guys standing up at various levels in the box. So it's a little bit better opportunity. So if we see them really lean on that, then I think we'll see a lot of Patrick Ricard, and that's what happened against the Vikings. If we don't see that, like the Browns really, really were backed off. They did rush five and six some, but they didn't do it overwhelmingly so like the Vikings did. Then I think we'll see the Ravens try less of Patrick Ricard and more of some misdirection elements that have been missing from this offense. But that's certainly something to hurt Henry this year, is that he hasn't been able to make use of Lamar's misdirection out of the mesh point as well.
Yeah, it's been tough, right? I got a gun with him. So go ahead.
All right, ready to go on here?
Yeah.
Okay, my next topic is Todd Monken, Lamar Jackson, the offensive line versus offensive variance by play. The Ravens need to reduce offensive variance by play. It's more important against a weak opponent like the Jets. And that involves six things I'll give you that are the responsibility in each case to each of one of those three entities I just gave you. The first two are Lamar Jackson responsibilities. The first one is reduce turnovers. That's mostly Lamar. Lamar is responsible for most interceptions in to some degree and most fumbles to some degree as well, particularly if they happen on a handoff or they occur on his own run. So they really need to reduce those. The more you heap up the win probability exchanged into just a few plays in the game, the more you give a chance to a team like the New York Jets. They're going to lose most plays to the Baltimore Ravens, or at least we certainly would hope so. Most plays on offense and most plays on defense. And so if the Ravens can make it such that they're basically playing small pot poker all the way through this game with their opponents, that's a good thing. They have a very significant advantage. They'll lean on that and they should win the football game. The other thing with the weak opponent, they need to have the game not come down to a few high leverage plays. And that means you probably want to be a little bit more conservative on fourth and whatevers where there is a big range of potential outcomes, but there is a small gain on that play. Now, I've said this before, and I've taken some heat from a risk professor at Wharton and some other people. They say, no, that's not how it works. I'm not convinced that it's a straight exchange of win probability we're making. I think it's more like a risk of ruin problem. You get yourself into a bigger and bigger hole from what you do until you can't get out of it. And that's where I think that the Ravens need to be very careful about making sure that the chances that they take have a really good payoff. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying don't take any chances. I'm just saying make sure that the chances that you take that are significant win probability chances have a really good payoff in terms of expected win probability. So those two are
Go ahead.
I got more, but go ahead with respond to that first.
No, really, just trying to lean into that win probability is definitely the key. I think Todd Monken has.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
It's done good in that regards. I think one of the plays that stands out that kind of goes unnoticed is that big play to Zay where he almost scored. That was a really good play design where they obviously had play action and then Lamar rolled out right and they were able to seal the edge and give him enough time to pop that throw to Zay. And then obviously the route combination works too. So those kind of probability plays are more what we need. And then including obviously the hurricane play with the Andrews.
That was really good play design there, which was positive, but let's talk about the offensive line's responsibility. And they've got a number, but I'm going to boil it down to two. They need to reduce the short yardage failures. I could say more broadly, they need to do a better job of helping the Ravens keep up with the sticks on a down by down basis. But the biggest problem the Ravens have had in their barbelled results has been in short yardage failures, that on third and one, they can't seem to get the push they need. On fourth and one, they can't. And then they have to try something like the hurricane or the pitch play to Jackson right, to try and get the yardage. The offensive line needs to improve their blocking that way. And then they need to improve the pass blocking to sustain drives. It's self-evident. You know, obviously you're going to need to convert a higher percentage of your third downs. Good pass blocking is really central to that. But at any play, it's important that you give your quarterback a better opportunity set, and then you'll sustain more drives. You'll score more, all of those good things. And I have two things I'm going to lay at the feet of Todd Monken. The first is that they need to anticipate the line of scrimmage crowding in advance of this game and figure out how to game plan against it. it's not necessarily an easy thing, but they need to be figuring for it right now. The second is they need to layer in scheme that can work with whatever health Lamar Jackson faces in this game. So whatever his health issues are, whatever limitations he has, they need to layer in scheme that can work with that. I know that's difficult. They have to, you know, it's a basically install probably of, you know, 5 to 8 more plays that they may have to do differently or have some different scheme element to make up for the fact that they can't really run the read option as effectively as they have in other games. And by the way, I'm not saying don't run the read option at all, because if they don't, that takes away a big weapon from the Ravens. But I don't think that they can run it as often with Lamar if A, he's not going to be good at doing it, and B, if the ends are crashing down on Henry play after play after play, you have to be able to run that occasionally.
Yep. And I think in 2023, Todd Monken used Lamar's legs optimally. I think that he ran him in the most advantageous situations where it kind of felt like we needed some momentum, and then boom, Lamar out of the back door, and then we're off and going on the drive. So I think making sure if we use Lamar's legs at the right time during the game is going to be key. Obviously, we want to establish it early to give the threat, but I think trying to lean on Henry and trust the backs, Keaton Mitchell has shown burst coming out of the backfield. I mean, there's been times where he hasn't been contacted until 8-10 yards down the field coming through the hole. So I think really leaning on the running backs, Ali, I mean, he's been running hard all year, just giving him a touch or two. He had the big catch in the first drive. So I think if the offensive line, I don't know how much better they can get at making a push up front. I think we're at where we're at with that. I don't know how much more improvement we can have, because the personnel would have to change if that's the case. I don't know.
I'm going to take the other side of that coin for a second here, because I think if you need to get pushed, the way you do that is with point of attack football and not as much with zone running. Zone running, just by its nature, it forces the defense, you're trying to get the defense to run themselves out of position by running laterally the line of scrimmage and create a hole which the running back chooses. If you're talking about gap schemes or, you know, schemes that involve duo blocking and whatnot, they have the ability to get push on those. They can get pushed. They get one guy off his pins. They can get a guard up to level two to make a block as well. And they've been effective pulling with Voorhees. He's made 19 consecutive pulls. So they've got, it's not like they don't have anybody who can use some of these gap concepts that made the Ravens run game great in 2019. They need to be more committed to it. And frankly, some of the things about zone scheme work and some don't with regard to the current personnel they have. And they're, I think maybe is what you're really talking about, is that they're limited in terms of the scheme they have with zone personnel. I still think they can run some gaps off.
Yeah. And they can, is just really making sure they're in unison with the offensive linemen, trying to make sure that they create a link and then work strategically up to the second level. Cause sometimes it seems like some of our guys just let the guy go and there's no one there to block them. So it's, at times it can be confusing during the zone blocking schemes when the offensive linemen are expecting help backside, but it's not there. So that's a really good point. Moving on to my second point, I have the Ravens wide receivers versus the Jets DBs. No Sauce Gardner. So in that case, we have a lighter assignment, but we don't have Rashad Bateman, who's hurt right now. So I don't think we do match up in terms of star versus star, if you want to call it that, Brandon Stevens and Zay Flowers. But we have better secondary players, a la Hopkins, Wallace, and also if he can get some spill this week, Walker. This would be the game for Walker. It seems like when we don't, like the Giants game last year that we were at, he had some spill, he had the touchdown. So I think we could see Walker this game, especially like I mentioned, this could be a get right game. So why not get the rookie or the second year guy in there, more reps, more opportunities, and get his confidence up going into the playoffs. But I'm expecting a lot of, if Lamar can get ample time and space, I can expect a lot of crossers from Zay getting open. These guys can't handle him. They have no big name. So no one's going to be able to handle that across the middle. And then want to see more vertical passing, but again, that's all dependent on the pass protection. So a lot of things that we would like to see, but continuing to focus on the main thing, worrying about the pass protection, and then that can open up the wide receivers and they can punish these Jets DBs.
Brandon Stevens is now their best cornerback. Yeah. So it's, and they, you go to go down and they, you know, it trails off pretty rapidly after that. Nobody's played a whole lot after Stevens, you know, in a relative sense, because Gardner had most of the time while he was there. But it'll be interesting. And I do think there's some on schedule throwing you can do to throw the ball deep. You're you know, straight dropbacks where you do the old Walsh play where you hit the receiver between 41 and 42 yards down the field. Those don't take long to get out of there. You can throw those even when you're under intense pressure. You might take a hit, but you can throw them even under intense pressure and usually get that ball out. That's one of the beauties of the thing is it was really kind of unstoppable from that perspective. Now you got to trust your receivers to do it, and you got to, exactly. You're making an on schedule throw, and Hopkins is that's a way I think they could attack the Jets. I think they could go after either Stevens or Hopkins.
The Ravens
have
tried that concept, but it seems like Ramon has overshot it all year. Like,
yeah,
a lot.
That's disappointing. True. I mean, we remember in a couple of years ago he's really overthrowing Bateman on a regular basis on those kind of routes, but it's got to be something you get committed to in desperate times, desperate measures, you know, in terms of Lamar's injury and what you, how you, you know, approach the game plan under those situations. So, I'm going to move on. I'll go to Derrick Henry versus the level 2 and level 3 Jets defenders. So the lack of a viable read option has hurt the Ravens in 2025 with more crashing. And we don't need to go over that again, because we've hit it on already. And Henry has continued to be a workhorse, but if you're looking for a second reason why his performance is not nearly as good, success rate is off and his yards per carry is off, it's the lack of missed tackles forced. So he's got 14 all season and 166 attempts. That's 8% of his carries. And he could have more than one on some carries. That is not lost on me, but having it as a number per carry at 0.08, I think is a useful measure. And in 2024, that number was 0.24 per carry of missed tackles. Now, some of that's on the offensive line because they're not getting him as many level 2 first contact opportunities. But when he gets them, he needs to make the most out of those. He needs to break more tackles than he has been doing so far this year. Now, the last two games have been encouraging. He's had 4 missed tackles broken in each game. And that's more at a level that we expect from Derrick Henry. It's also 8 of the 14 he's had all year have been in the last 2 weeks. Point of attack football hopefully will help get him some of those level 2 opportunities that put him in a position to be to break tackles and turn some 5s into 20s that we have really enjoyed seeing him since he's been here. What else is there? I think that's pretty much it. That's the thing I really want to see from Derrick Henry in this game to improve the Ravens offense, because they're going to be leaning on him, no doubt about it, for point of attack football.
Yeah, and it really starts with him not getting touched in the backfield, because he's not a guy who can do a little jab step like Ray Rice used to do and just explode through the hole. He almost needs to have a straight line to the hole with no interruption, really. I mean, he can get some arms in there and he can break through. But to your point about getting to the second level, once he does break through, he's shown that those tacklers just can't hold him. I think, obviously, he got caught by Denzel Ward, but when he was breaking through, someone did try and slow him down, and he barely broke stride, but it was enough to get caught. But I think it's been tough for us to watch, kind of like, well, the Eagles have it worse than us with Saquon Barkley not really performing the way he did last year. I think the Ravens have definitely got more production out of Henry this year compared to Saquon. But it just hasn't been as explosive as it was the first game. Because the first game, it felt like, okay, we're right back to where we left off last year and off to the races. But something happened in between then and now that might not just be unexplained. It just might not be able to explain what it is, but we'll see moving forward.
All right. Always a pleasure doing the show with you, Frazier. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Yep. You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_Rave8.
Appreciate y'all. Thanks for listening again. If you have an idea for a film study short, hit me up. I'll be doing some more of those after the Bengals game, after Thanksgiving, where we have a little bit of mini bye time. So hit me up if you have a good idea for one of those. Otherwise, anything you can do to promote the show is greatly appreciated, including telling the one new person about it. Thanks very much. For Frazier Tapar, this is Ken McCusick, and we'll talk to you next time on Matchups. Oh,